Momentum for the jobs and transportation, a program we call Major Moves, continues to grow as important organizations concerned about Indiana's economic future have studied the plan and continue to sign up and urge their members to talk to the General Assembly about the need to pass this legislation. And today, on behalf of the whole spectrum of real estate, commercial and residential in the state, and our very important manufactured housing and RV industries, we have four additional organizations who have come forward to speak to this the need for this bold step in Indiana's economic future. And I'm going to ask them in the following order: Carl Barron on behalf of both segments of real estate in the state, Rick Wadja on behalf of the home building community of the state, Dennis Harney on behalf of the manufactured housing and RV industry of the state. Carl, would you go first, please?
Sure. Thanks, Governor. It's a thrill for us to be here today. I would, I guess, explain our endorsement of this plan in the following way. Our members are literally on the front lines of selling Indiana every day. That's what they do when they go to the office. They sell Indiana to commercial investment, to residential investment, to businesses looking to relocate and expand in Indiana. And I would argue there's really no industry that's better able to understand the link between good transportation and job creation than ours. So when we looked at the breadth of the projects, the pace with which they're accelerated, as one of our members put it in the outside a minute ago, this was a no-brainer for us. So we're thrilled to stand here today to endorse the plan. I would just also add one other thing. Our folks are marketers at heart. They, as I said, sell Indiana, and this plan, if you think about it, would virtually overnight change the way we could market Indiana. If, for an example, you had a company looking at Southwest Indiana, we would move from a message of, well, you know, we'd like to build this road. We've got a route picked out, and when we get the money, we're going to build it. That may be about the time your second round of machinery and equipment is obsolete, but we're going to build this road. We move from that to an almost instant, by the end of the year, message, which is, we have a route, and the money's in the bank. Construction starts year after next. Far different marketing message, and we think that's hugely important for potential investors who really, really pay attention to transportation. So with that, we're thrilled to lend our endorsement to your plan.
Carl, thank you so much.
Rick.
Thank you, Governor, and the home builders as well are strong supporters of the Major Moves plan, and we appreciate the governor and the administration for introducing this plan. We're in the business every day of providing housing to Hoosiers, and our 6,000 members across the state do that in all parts of the state. And as well as the home builders and the realtors alike, this was a no-brainer for us. We believe in infrastructure, and in order for Indiana to continue to grow and grow in the right way, we need the roads to lead to those communities and for those jobs to locate in the state of Indiana. We've done studies where 1.25 jobs creates the need for another house, and so we need those jobs in the state, and we need the houses in the state, and we appreciate the governor for introducing this plan.
Rick, thank you. And Dennis.
I'm way back here, Governor.
The manufactured housing and recreation vehicle industry in the state of Indiana is responsible for employing thousands of Hoosiers across the state. And although we're strong in the state, virtually all of our product is exported to other states, bringing dollars into our state, and virtually all of our product moves on the roadways. And we believe this to be an aggressive and innovative plan. We look forward to its implementation, Governor. We look forward to continued growth and success in the state of Indiana. We're honored to be here and honored to endorse your plan.
We appreciate your stepping forward. Thank you, Dennis, very much.
Questions?
Governor, the cigarette tax, would you consider using that as a backup revenue for road bonds if next week the bids come in short?
I rather doubt it any time in the near term. Again, this is a health measure, first and last for me. A state that still owes schools, even after the distribution I'm just ordered, still owes schools $156 million, still owes local government several hundred million, could use money sooner rather than later to get out of debt. And there may be other uses that the General Assembly has in mind, but I would think things like property tax reduction probably would come ahead if there were a new revenue source made possible.
Along the same lines, talking about being a health measure, Brian Smith has a bill to ban smoking in bars and restaurants. Do you think that achieves a similar health goal? Would you support that?
I'd look at it if the legislature passed it, but I have many times said that although my views about preventive health and smoking are very well known, I'm hesitant to see these things imposed top-down from Indianapolis. It is happening in community after community based on local decision-making. That tends to be my approach to this and many other such issues.
What do you think you'll have to do politically to get the cigarette tax passed? I mean, it's not in bill form right now.
Yeah.
There seems to be some opposition in the legislature. Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you that I, just while on the second floor or third floor for a while yesterday, bumped into some very purposeful ladies from the Heart Association, from the American Cancer Society, from other health advocacy organizations, and they are off and running. I believe that there will be a substantial grassroots idealism for this measure, because of its possible health, positive health consequences for the state. So I expect we'll work closely with them. And there are plenty of members of the legislature who have, I think, been waiting for a cue from somewhere to step forward and on this. By the way, there are other things that I didn't use speech time on the other night that we will incorporate in the bill. For instance, it is not legal under current Indiana law for an employer to offer a discount on health insurance to a non-smoker. And that's not right. In fact, we want employers in Indiana to encourage in every way they can better wellness practices. So there will be a couple other things that we'll want to address that might also reduce smoking in our state. Not ready to say today.
Governor, the tax amnesty money comes to schools. Has that already been collected, or is that money still waiting to come in from those schools?
The vast majority has been collected, and this is a cash flow matter both for the state and for the schools. And I've directed that it be that the checks be prepared literally as fast as they can. Every day we get them there is one day less that schools have to borrow those funds and pay interest in order to meet their own obligations. So we think we'll get it done literally in next week or two.
You already have the authority to do that?
Yes, I have the authority already. Was dependent on the state being able to achieve balance, which we now believe we reliably can forecast for the end of this fiscal year. And so that achievement of a balanced budget faster than people thought was possible is what made possible in turn this special distribution. And we're going to make it as fast as we can, and I look forward to the next one and to all that are required until we've paid back this debt, both the schools and local governments. You know, I think even before I announced the distribution, I think most legislators had understood and accepted our point of view that one-time money should not be used to take on a new every-year obligation. And so I think most folks upstairs understood that if we're going to do something new about property taxes, that was not the right source. And I've heard so far no grumbles myself.
Governor, there's a couple of bills that have been proposed to deal with disorderly conduct at funerals. I'm curious your thoughts on that, if you have any concerns about free speech.
I do have concerns about free speech issues. This is, to me, abhorrent and unintelligible behavior by these folks from out of state. But, you know, I think the First Amendment has occasionally been used on behalf of things that I don't believe James Madison and the other founders would have understood. But this speech, however abhorrent, may well be covered by that. I would take a look at it, but I will say that although the behavior in question I find horrific, you have to be very, very careful where genuine free speech rights on matters of public debate and consequence are concerned.
So not necessarily a strong supporter then?
I really haven't given it close attention yet. I want to take an open stance for now. I'm just trying to give you an honest first reaction.
Mm-hmm.
The bill simply seeks to give Indiana state government the same authority that last I looked, something like 18 states have, at least to enter negotiations with potential private partners who might want to bring their own money into projects that a given state can't finance itself right now. And a lot of legitimate questions ought to be asked about this, and it's been a good debate so far, and I think the hearings next week are important. I'm not presently scheduled to testify personally, but everybody else in the administration may well before it's over. We spent a lot of time studying this, and we appreciate that the legislators need to ask their own the same questions we did, and we'll do all we can to furnish good answers. I'm just listening to the overwhelming majority of teachers who told me as I traveled the state that they thought a spring test made the most sense. Parents tell me the same thing. Kids tell me the same thing. And I think the problems of today are much larger than that hypothetical problem. The problems of today are we chew up the first part of the school year reviewing things that should have been measured at the time that the teaching of them was complete. We wind up starting the school year earlier and earlier for that very reason. And also we separate completely the measurement of what the kids learned from the time in which they learned it. So there's no perfect system, but I'm convinced that overwhelming majority of Hoosiers who supports this change are using common sense. I haven't heard from him. I got some relatives and friends in Pennsylvania I've heard from. But I assume, like me, he's got a couple other things he's doing, but I won't be doing anything else but rooting for the Colts for 3-hour Sunday.
What's your prediction for the game,
sir? Well, let the record show, I've been pretty right about this so far, haven't I? Call the last one right. Well, Pittsburgh's hot, and they might well play the Colts tougher than they did the last time. I doubt we'll shock them with an 80-yard bomb on the very first play, two games in a row. But we have the best team in football, not to mention the most admirable team and franchise in football, and I'm just confident they're going to win. Put up some points and move on. All right, now a little stage management. If our job builders will make way for a second group, let's see. Is it right? So let's see. Cinnamon, Linda, and Bruce are. We had a pretty busy 2005, and artistic and aesthetic judgments, I'm sorry to say, kind of got crowded out by a few other things. But I had felt that in addition to displaying and honoring former occupants of this office, that maybe a little more diversity was in order, and that we ought to recognize Hoosiers who have built this state in other pursuits and in the private sector and in other capacities in public service. And so from now on, this wall and maybe eventually a little bit more will be given over to expressing our pride in them. And so we have today portraits of Mrs. Sewell, who was one of our early suffragettes, leader of the women's movement. Next to her, Booth Tarkington, one of our literary giants. Yes, I noticed that he's smoking a cigarette. General Lew Wallace, both a military hero and a literary figure from our proud tradition. The Ball brothers, who built a fabulous company in this state and a whole community, you could almost say, with it. And Madam Walker, of course. So we expect to add to this display and rotate the pictures on some basis, but I want to thank Cinnamon Caitlin Legutko, have I said that correctly? More or less. who is with the Lew Wallace Museum and made General Wallace a real hero of mine. Author of Ben-Hur, of course, available. And Linda Carlin's here from the Propylaeum. And May Sewell's portrait comes from that great organization. And then Bruce from Madam Walker Theater, which is a wonderful facility honoring America's first black woman, a female millionaire, and another great business success is with us too. So I want to thank these folks. And by the way, invite both ideas from the public and from maybe those who own portraits of great Hoosiers to suggest if they'd like to loan them for the benefit of visitors to this office. Well, I didn't do the choosing exactly, except I did try to, I did suggest some categories to sort of diversify the portraits we found in here. And we were thinking, of course, of people who had built the economy of this state, and people who had served it in the military, people who had led in the arts. And this first selection captures all of those categories, I think, very well. Very excited about them. Thank you very much. I invite you to talk to any of these good folks about